We welcome you back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking with a pair of public health leaders on this weekend show in Tuolumne County, the interim public health officer, Dr. Eric Sergenko, as well as Tuolumne County Public Health Director, Michelle Jaquetta. Dr. Sergenko, I'll pose this next question to you. I've heard you mention from time to time about the COVID-19 pandemic eventually transitioning into an endemic. Can you explain a little bit about what you mean by that and if you have any kind of guesstimate as to how that would work?
Sure. Yeah, I think it's helpful to think about or read, you know, recall what the definition is for both pandemic and endemic is, you know, pandemic is a new emerging infectious disease that goes worldwide. That's the pan part of pandemic. And because it eventually goes worldwide, people will become exposed to it and will become infected and will develop immunity. Or we'll develop immunity through a vaccine. And at some point in time, there's enough people who have become infected or who have immunity through a vaccination that transmission declines to what we'll call a sustainable level. That is where it doesn't cause stress on the healthcare system, where it doesn't cause an excessive amount of morbidity or mortality, that is hospitalizations or death. So, you know, you're looking at 2021, we're back where the COVID virus is causing enough death that it's actually led to a decline in life expectancy. So that's truly why we're still in a pandemic. We're still seeing a large amount of morbidity and mortality associated with the SARS-CoV-2 virus, the virus that causes COVID. And at some point in time, though, these waves, like the Delta wave, will get smaller. And at that point is when we transition from a pandemic to an endemic disease. But that transition can take years. So I would anticipate, though, is that the beginning of the transition, and I said this about 18 months ago, is that it takes about 18 months to 2 years to go from being a pandemic that has a significant amount of impact to the beginning of being endemic. And then with COVID, as we learn more about it, and this is just, you know, my hypothesis, my guess, is that we know that there are already human coronaviruses that are out there that cause mild disease in most children when they're very young, when they're infants, when they're toddlers, when they're in kindergarten, first grade. And they develop an immunity to them, and it doesn't bother them the rest of their lives. So as we see this transition from pandemic to endemic, those kids will get exposed, they'll get sick, they won't have a huge scale problem with it. Really where the burden of it will be is on people that are our age. You know, the 30s, 40s, 50s, up into older than that, because that's where we're seeing a large amount of people who are sick, people who are hospitalized. And so the burden will be on us for the next, you know, 5 to 10 years as it transitions, as it takes that long transition from a pandemic disease into an endemic disease. But the generations behind us, the kids that are being born now up until the 6 to 7 to 8 year old range, really will most likely have a very mild case of disease by the time they get to adulthood, where they would be at a severe risk of hospitalization or death. They'll already have a fairly robust immune response to the COVID virus. Now, there are at least one unknown associated with that is, could this become like a flu virus, where a flu virus mutates from season to season, and some seasons causes more severe disease? We simply don't know enough about the coronavirus to know what will happen. But we may have bad coronavirus years, we may have good coronavirus years. And again, when we talk about coronavirus vaccines going out past, you know, the next year or so and making modifications from year to year, that may be what's happened, is when we anticipate there's going to be a mutation in the virus that causes more severe disease, we may alter the makeup to more closely represent what that virus is. And again, that's stuff that would happen over the next 5 to 10 years.
I've heard several people make the argument that they say they've had COVID already. They don't feel they need the vaccine. What's your opinion on that argument?
So I think those people who have already had it and know they have it can have a good immune response. The real challenge is knowing what their level of immune response is, because we know that when a person gets the two doses of the Johnson & Johnson or Moderna vaccine, or the single dose of the Johnson & Johnson or the Moderna or Pfizer vaccine, or the single dose of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, that they get a pretty consistent immune response. But people who get a natural infection, some have a very robust response, others not. So my suggestion to those people who've got a natural infection is that they back that up with at least a dose of an mRNA vaccine, because we do know that people who have received a vaccine on top of a natural infection have an even more robust and consistent immune response. So, you know, the additional vaccine on top of a natural infection sort of levels you up to ensure that regardless of how much immune response you had with that natural infection, you have a robust response. So that's kind of the argument, both based on the fact that, yeah, people who do have a natural infection do have some level of immune response, but they can make that even better. There are multiple good studies that bring that up. And the one thing I would really discourage people from doing is getting infected to avoid getting vaccinated. I mean, I think that's the biggest concern I have, is don't go out and just get infected because it's safer or easier than having a vaccine, because both those are not true. We still know that it's about a 1% case fatality rate. That is a 1% chance that you will die if you are unimmunized and you get a case of COVID. And you have about an 8% chance of getting hospitalized, again, if you're unimmunized. We know that if you get a breakthrough case of COVID and you happen to be vaccinated, you are 10 times less likely to get hospitalized and 10 times less likely to die. So again, advantages of being vaccinated over unvaccinated. So yeah, that's my biggest concern with the idea behind natural immunity, is not that people who already have it, but people who go out and seek to get infected so that they can avoid getting vaccinated.
Need to take one more break. We're talking with some public health leaders on this weekend's Motherlode Views. We're joined by Dr. Eric Sergenko, the interim public health officer for Tuolumne County, and Michelle Jaquetta, Tuolumne County Public Health Director. I'm BJ Hansen. We'll have our final segment coming up in just a minute. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small.